Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're currently doing the chapter on the prohibition of punishing a slave, an animal, or a woman, or a child without any Shari'i reason, or to go beyond the limits of discipline. So today we'll do two short ahadith and then we'll do some explanation. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من ضرب غلاما له حدا لم يأته أو لطمه فإن كفارته أن يعتقه رواه مسلم. حضرت عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said one who beats his slave or slaps him for a crime that he did not commit, his compensation is to set him free. So here the ulama explained the first part. One who beats his slave for some act of had which he did not do. Act of had means, for example, the person tells his slave that you've been drinking. In other words, you're drinking wine. And this slave now was not drinking any type of wine. Or he accuses the slave of any action where there is some type of punishment in Shariat. And the slave did not do that. And now that action or that had is carried out upon this person, upon the slave. Now the slave got so limited rights, so he did not do it, but he was accused of doing it. And now what had happened was some action, he got beaten up. Example, in Shariat, for a person that is drinking wine, we did this before, that the person gets 40 lashes. So now this person gets those 40 lashes. Now he didn't do, or he did not drink any wine. So this is what the first part of the hadith is. He's been beaten for something that he did not do. Or if he slept for a crime which he did not commit, then his compensation is to set him free. So beautifully, in the time when people were treating slaves worse than animals, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the freeing of slaves. That you exceeded the mark as far as your slave is concerned, so set him free. Ulama explained that it's not wajib, but it's something that is preferable that you should do as an action for your exceeding the bounds, something from your side that you should be doing now, you set this slave free. So one other thing we learn from this hadith is when a person does something wrong, when he makes a mistake and he does something wrong, he should take an additional step to try and rectify it, something that he'll feel the pinch in his pocket. For example, a person does something wrong now, he says, because of this wrong I've done, I'm going to give 100 rand in sadaqah. So a person takes out 100 rand and gives in sadaqah. The next time he wants to do that wrong, he'll remember that, you know what, I'll have to give 100 rand again in sadaqah. So now because of this, it will assist him and help him to save himself from that wrong. For example, he says, every time I miss salah or jamaat, I'm going to give 100 rand. It just depends on a person's financial condition. I'm giving an example, but something that a person feels. It mustn't be just 1 5 rand or 1 10 rand, but something that he'll feel that pinch in his pocket. So a person takes this out and he gives it to a poor person. And he tells himself, that every time I miss salah in the masjid, this is what I'm going to do. So it makes it easier for a person now to read his salah. Because why? There's some repercussion of his action. But if there's no repercussion, he carries on smiling, carries on joking, everything carries on normal. Even if he misses a namaz, then he'll end up missing more and more salah. Why? Because there's no effect upon him. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you exceeded the bound as far as the slave is concerned, set him free. Now we know the value of a slave, how valuable it is, especially in that time, the value that it had. But yet the person was told, set the slave free. In other words, it will teach you a lesson that don't exceed the bounds. This is with regards to a slave. Can you imagine how much a person should be careful exceeding the bounds with his own wife, exceeding the bounds with his children in terms of discipline, exceeding the bounds as far as an animal is concerned, also a person must be careful. So all these things a person should take into account. One more hadith, عن هشام ابن حكيم ابن حزام رضي الله عنه أنه مر بالشام على أناس من الأنباط وقد أقيموا في الشمس وصب على رؤوسهم الزيت فقال ما هذا قيل يعذبون في الخراج وفي رواية حبسوا في الجزية فقال هشام أشهد لسمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله يعذب الذين يعذبون الناس في الدنيا فدخل على الأمير فحدثه فأمر بهم فخلوا رواه مسلم. هذا هشام ابن حكيم ابن حزام رضي الله عنه narrates that he passed by some non-Arab farmers in Syria who had been made to stand in the sun with oil poured over their heads. Just understand what is the scene here. The Sahabi is passing by some non-Arab farmers in Syria. They were not Muslims. He seen that they were made to stand in the hot sun, and hot oil had been poured over their heads. So these people were being punished in this way. Now they're standing, made to stand in the hot sun with hot oil being poured over their heads. Who are these people? They were non-Arabs and they were non-Muslims. So he asked, the moment he saw this, he asked, what is this? He was told that they are being punished due to evading the Kharaj land tax. In Islam there is such a thing that a non-Muslim that is staying in a Muslim land, then the produce that comes out of the ground, for example, he may be planting tomatoes or potatoes or onions or carrots, whatever it is, then some percentage of the produce must be given to the Muslim government for being allowed to stay in the Muslim country. It's like how we have taxes here in South Africa and other places, but obviously ours is oppressive. There is now, because you are staying and you're enjoying the benefits of staying in the Muslim land, this is what you have to do. It's some percentage of your produce that comes out. So now, he was told that these people were not giving this, so they're being punished in this way. Or in another riwayat it comes that these people were being punished for evading jizya. What is jizya? Jizya is protection tax to be paid by non-Muslims living in an Islamic state. If you're non-Muslim staying in an Islamic state, then you should be paying jizya. In other words, you're not paying kharaja, now you're paying jizya. It's another type of tax. It's now you're not levied upon the produce that's coming out of the earth, but it's some amount that you pay all the time because you're enjoying the protection, you're enjoying the facilities, you're enjoying the Muslim country's infrastructure and everything that is there for the safety, etc., for the Muslims. You as a non-Muslim are enjoying it in the Muslim country, so you pay some type of tax which is called jizya. Now this is different from kharaj. Kharaj is based on the produce that is coming out of the land. This is a separate tax where a person now, for example, as I mentioned, he pays a certain amount that has been stipulated, set by the Khalifa. So anyway, moving on. So these people were being punished for this, either for the land tax or for this other type of tax for protection known as jizya. Hisham radiallahu anhu said, I testify that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah will punish those who punish people in this world. In other words, he saw wrong taking place, he didn't just keep quiet and smile about it and carry on. And this is the style of a Muslim. When he sees wrong taking place, immediately he speaks out against the wrong, or he'll do something to make a change to that wrong that is taking place, depending on the ability that he's got. So immediately the Sahabi, he didn't keep quiet. Immediately he said that I testify that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah will punish those who punish people in this world. He then went to the Amir, the leader of Sham at that time, and he narrated the hadith to him, and he ordered him that these people must be released. Don't punish these people in this way. This hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, and in Abu Dawud Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq. Here what one lesson we learn is that Allah will punish those people who punish people in this world, because denigrating the honor of a human being is a major sin and will never go unpunished in the year after. Sometimes we might think that these people are poor people, or they come from a poor village. What are they going to do? We can take advantage of them in whichever way we want. We can exploit them. And we should think of this Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday we did one that person should think of, especially when he's in anger, and he can exercise that anger and he can go in a way that he can punish, or he can take advantage of that anger that he is in with that person that he's angry with. That hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'lam Aba Mas'ud, anna Allah aqdaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. O Abu Mas'ud, remember that Allah has more power over you than what you have over the slave. Allah has more power over you. So every time we want to exercise our anger and our power and our strength over someone else, think to ourselves that Allah has more power over us. If Allah Ta'ala exercises His power over us and His strength over us, or His anger over us, what will be our condition? Immediately it will help cool a person so that he does not take any type of excesses over the next person. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.